Hey, gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the warranty of free speech because we guarantee it. You will have free speech, but, and you will hear free speech, but you got to pay for it. The fundage is needed to pay for fundage at RBN. It's republicbroadcasting.org. 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664, phone it into 1-800-724-2719. The operator is standing by. We've got Paul Stevenson also standing by. Paul, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Patrick, thanks.
What if people want to help you? I'm helpless.
Oh, yeah.
I'm helpless, so I'm not asking for help, because I'm helpless. But you.
Yeah, well, thanks for bringing that up. Yeah, as you know, my landlord, my rent up, until I make a few adjustments, things are a little tight at the moment. You can help me on PayPal. All you need is my email, Stevenson, with a B, S-T-E-V-E-N-S-O-N, underscore P5 at sky.com. I think the next sort of few weeks are going to be a little tricky until I adjust, make some adjustments to my £200 a month increase. It's when my landlord said, you know, I'm going to have to put the rent up a little bit, I was expecting, oh, here he goes, 50 quid or 100 quid. It's like £200, you know. It's just like, oh, okay, and where do you expect me to get this money from? You know, but what can you do? I mean, you just got to pay it. it would be appreciated if someone or some people could donate a little bit at a particular time to help me out. As you know, we don't get paid for this. We enjoy it, but there's other things we could do. And I do think about it. You know, I see people on YouTube. They don't talk about Jews or anything actually that important, really, but they make money on YouTube. And it's actually quite difficult to watch them sometimes. And because we talk about what we do on here, you're not going to get this on any, you know, most platforms. And we don't get paid for it. And also, you take a risk. And sometimes the thing's a little foolish. You think, well, you know, we could not take a risk or not take that much of a risk and make money. So it's frustrating sometimes, you know. But anyway, it is what it is. I don't really want to be beholden to anyone for money. I want to be able to be free to speak my mind. And, you know, but occasionally a bit of help would be great, Patrick. But anyway, there we are. But thanks for bringing that up. Yeah.
You know, I don't want to bitch and moan about the Jews all the time, but frankly, somebody's got to do it, and I just happen to be good at it. And you too.
Well, practice makes perfect.
So what are these Jews up to now?
This is what happens when you read Henry Ford, The International Jew, when you're young. I mean, once you know, you can't not know.
I saw a Ford commercial for Ford cars the other day. And they were saying, the way the commercial went is, if other car companies, they started off saying, Ford, we assemble 80% of our cars or 83% of our cars right here in America. And then they went on to say, if other car companies were like Ford, there would be another 150 auto plants in the United States, and there would be another 500 or 5 million cars. American-built cars sold in the United States, and then I shouted out, and there would be and all of their owners would put a copy of a book warning against the Jews in their glove compartment.
You imagine. I mean, that is actually true. Imagine people don't realize just how much has changed and how right he was to warn. When you look at how the landscape has changed, the Jewish century. Facilitated in no small part by the young nation, which was perfect, a sitting duck for the Jews, disconnected from the European history. And I don't mean that as any insult to the Americans, but it really was a gift for the Jews, a nation of people who have very little connection or interest to their history, where the Jew was able to run riot and has been running riot for the last century in a way which has been unprecedented. And which has now led us to the brink of World War III. So who knew that they would do it? Well, Henry Ford knew it, which is why when you bought a Ford car a century or so ago, You got a copy of the International Jew warning you about Jewish power. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
I was born in the wrong time, Patrick.
Well, and he was very prophetic 100 years ago. Have you read the book?
Well, what people probably don't understand about you, because when we talk about Henry Ford, people perhaps have this image of Ford sitting in his office, you know, writing a book about Jews. But here in the introduction of Ford's book, he said, let me see if I can just get to the part. He called to his office the most intelligent research men within his acquaintance. He commissioned them to make a thorough study of the International Jew and publish their findings in the Dearborn Independent, which at the time was the official organ of the Ford Motor Company. No expense was spared, and it is estimated that literally millions of dollars were spent by Mr. Ford in this project. Mm-hmm. So he commissioned, this is a man who obviously was very well connected, who basically commissioned the best of the best around him and commissioned them to go and research this clique, you know. And they did a very good job, because, like you said, it's prophetic. They observed it very accurately.
Well, and
then that other fellow who came later, I forget what his name was. He was, I don't know, maybe was he German? Some German leader.
Are you talking about?
He wrote some.
Maybe he was Canadian.
He had a moustache.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forget his name. He wrote a book about. I think he was in prison when he wrote it. I forget. I don't know. Maybe it's not the right guy.
Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King. He had a moustache and he was in prison.
Yeah.
It was him.
Yeah, so he wrote more about them in prison as well, and there were some interesting insights in that. Apparently, he had a copy of the International Jew in his desk. So it's said. So it's rumored.
Wow. Well, and so, getting to current events, the Jews have been rather rambunctious lately, and we talked about this on Saturday for your Sunday show, where you it actually was it Saturday or was it Friday night we talked about? I think it was immediate.
It was the early hours of Sunday morning with me. It was about 2:30 a.m. on Sunday morning, so it was about 15 hours before my show was due to be aired last night.
Okay.
So it was Saturday evening for you.
Was it Saturday evening? Okay, I was thinking it was Sunday immediately after or Friday night immediately after the news broke. But
I'm a little OCD, so I keep a diary of all these things among everything, basically.
Okay. Well, at any rate, and you felt pretty strongly that things were going to go in a particular direction. How have things been panning out? More or less how you expected? Any surprises?
What did I say exactly?
Well, you said it was almost like a kind of theater, so that there was...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I thought, I basically said that the whole thing was BS, this big attack. In terms of, you know, what it's likely to achieve in terms of their nuclear program, I mean, a lot of commentators who have more expertise and connections than I have reckon that, whatever enriched uranium they had and whatever other equipment that's important for these sorts of programs was all removed a couple or three days before the attack. Probably Trump knew that. There was satellite images where you can see a huge convoy of lorries leaving that plant, if that indeed is the plant, I think on the Thursday or something like that. So it seems to be accepted wisdom that they removed their stuff from there. So I think what I was suggesting was that the whole thing was basically political theater. It was, designed to do was achieve political goals rather than militarily. Because what did they achieve? You know, even if they didn't remove this stuff, I mean, this stuff is so buried deep down under the ground. What did they hope to achieve? Again, a lot of military people have commented that it's nigh on impossible to destroy their enrichment program with airstrikes. It's just too deep under the ground. Maybe they can cause some damage, but it's not going to, it's not going to, like Trump claimed, completely obliterate it. So my thesis was that this was Trump's attempt to be seen to be doing something. He's under pressure from the lobby. He wanted to be getting in there and getting out and then put his hands up to the MAGA base and say, we're one and done here. Aren't we brilliant? And, of course, that's the narrative and the rhetoric. It was spectacular. Our armed forces are just off the charts, amazing. This is like, some of the rhetoric is just, usual Trumpian hyperbole, which seems to have infected even J.D. Vance by this point. So that was my theory. Now, this we suggested, speculated, that maybe, perhaps through Putin, for example, or someone like that, there may have been some back channels going on where the Iranians were prepared to kind of absorb this, if this indeed was the end of the United States involvement in things, and to sort of give everybody an off-ramp. Because the Iranians, of course, never wanted any of this. And the narrative is, even by J.D. Vance today, I was listening to him, is that somehow, the Iranians, they had their chance, they were dragging it out, they were somehow trying to hoodwink, drag it out, and they weren't really interested in diplomacy, which of course is just complete nonsense. They were in the process of diplomacy before the strike happened. They were due to meet on the Sunday. And Israel, whether Trump was in on it or not, it was some big deception that he was participating in it, or whether he pretended to keep face. Whatever, the fact is, they destroyed any possibility of negotiation. So, the United States is a disgrace, It's embarrassing. It really is. It's a shame, but you see, when you allow Jews into your country to rule like they do, eventually you end up with the same, I have to be careful what I say here, but I probably shouldn't even say what I'm going to say, but how I think about these people. But let's just say how they accuse other people of being barbaric, and the Palestinians, let's just say whatever the Israelis accuse other people of and how they treat other people, that's kind of how they are. I mean, they are, to me, their standards are well below anything non-Jewish. Let's put it that way. Including the Iranians, any other country. And the problem is, you see it in this country. I mean, when you get into the upper echelon of British society, they're infected by it too. They're like, they're kind of like Jews. They're like philo-Jews, the British aristocracy, the British elites. And it seems to infect them, where they just don't have any standards, and the whole world just looks on and sort of wants to vomit at their behavior. It's so, they're just swindlers and criminals, gangsters. There's no standards. They don't adhere to international law. They break all their own laws. They don't adhere to anything. They're just an out of control mad dog kind of a people. And then if you're taking their money, then you have to start behaving like that too. Now, I'm not saying that, Trump doesn't have that in him, but it's just embarrassing the way the people behave. I mean, I'm sure most decent. The problem is as well, if you go around the world, I'll tell you, if you go to anywhere around the world, people hate Americans. They do. They hate Americans. They hate them coming as tourists. They don't want to. They just hate them mostly because of United States foreign policy and because they're considered to be bullies. Something that Donald Trump laughably accused the Iranians of. And I have to tell people, no, it's just the American government's just the same way, the British are not like either. And you have to say, well, listen, I know some fantastic American people that hate their own governments, it's not the people. I have some very, very lovely English friends. It's the governments, which is true, but it just, it gives America such a bad name. It's such a shame, you know.
Right. So, you know, I just wonder how much Trump at this point, how strategic he's capable of being. Now, so the idea is that the United States could bomb places in Iraq that are high profile, but probably didn't cause any real substantial damage to the nuclear program. You know, they would have created giant craters, but not necessarily hurt the nuclear program. And then, in the aftermath of it, Trump warned Iran not to retaliate against the United States, but didn't say you can't retaliate against Israel. Now, we're recording this, and this is almost 24 hours before showtime. This might be 23 hours before showtime. And just, I think, right about as we started, news came out. I saw it on RT, and now I'm looking at it on the AP website. Iran launches missiles at U.S. bases in Middle East. So
yeah, Qatar, Iraq, where else?
Qatar and Iraq, that's what I'm seeing.
Yeah, there was also some sort of mortar attack, apparently, on a military base in Syria, which may have been a proxy. Also, apparently some ISIS maniac went into a church in Syria today, tragically, and blew himself up and killed five people and injured a lot more.
So a year or so ago, not a year ago, when was it? Was it after Soleimani? Was it 4 years ago when Trump assassinated Soleimani and then the Iranians hit an American base in Syria, didn't kill anybody, but did cause like a lot of, I guess, ear damage and traumatic brain injury or something. But that was something that Trump absorbed and accepted. These missile strikes on Qatar, on bases, U.S. bases in Qatar and Iraq, did they cause any loss of life? I don't have any of that here. If they didn't cause loss of life, has Trump painted his administration into a corner by saying that if you retaliate against us, there's going to be all hell to pay? One last thing I just want to bring up is, you know, Trump I heard today that Trump is only talking to certain people in his administration, that his chief of staff, who's a woman named Susie Wiles, who comes from Florida, and what's important about Florida is Florida is completely kosher certified. Anybody who's who has had a political career, and in her case it wouldn't be as an elected official, but it would be more as an advisor, as paid staff, but anybody with a political career in Florida has been thoroughly vetted by Jewish money. And so you have people like Marco Rubio's from Florida, until recently national security advisor, Waltz. Waltz was from Florida, and Bimbo Bondi. We're on Engelbert's song. We referred to her as Milfie Bondi, the attorney general. She's from Florida. All these people from Florida, completely beholden to Jewish money. So I'm just throwing that out there. So the question is, will this now require Trump to have a to retaliate again and escalate? What do you think?
Well, this is Trump's problem. Someone needs to pull him aside sometimes and tell him to shut his mouth and stop writing on Truth Social, because he does. He gambles. He's not a very, you know, he's the complete opposite of Vladimir Putin, where everything's measured, everything's thought through, you know. I don't know whether he takes a lot of time to think about these moves or whether it's just an innate instinctive ability he has, but he's the opposite of Trump, because you're right. He paints himself into a corner because...
Make the world go away. Say the things you used to say, and make the world go away.
Get More Tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get More Tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get More Tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it, contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine, reduce your emissions, and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A five-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
Are you really prepared? There's one critical piece most people forget. When disaster strikes, the most powerful survival tool isn't in your hands, it's in your head. But here's the hard truth. Knowledge disappears fast when the grid goes down. That's why we created the Preparedness Tablet, the first and only off-grid digital library designed specifically for survival situations. We've done the work for you. This rugged, portable tablet comes preloaded with a massive library of practical knowledge, food preservation and storage, emergency medical care, off-grid living and homesteading, security, defense, and more. It's indexed, searchable, organized, and powered by a free solar charger, so you'll never be without it. It also comes with a protective hard case, and you can upgrade it with supplemental survival files and EMP protection. Whether it's a power outage, social unrest, or a full-blown crisis, this tablet gives you instant access to skills that save lives. From treating wounds to growing food, even saving cherished family documents and photos, this preparedness tablet is your silent partner when things go sideways. You can't know it all, but you can carry it with you. Preloaded with survival knowledge, runs 100% off-grid, backup and store your own files, lightweight, portable, and solar-powered. Join thousands of Americans closing the last gap in the emergency prep. Visit our website now and get peace of mind in the palm of your hand. The preparedness tablet also makes a thoughtful and potentially life-saving gift. Invest in yourself, protect your family. Visit www.comcoms.link. That's www.comcoms.link. Be ready, be smart, be the one who plans ahead. We also offer custom portable radios that come pre-configured for your local area. Included with these versatile radios is free basic training to get you up to speed quickly on how to use your radio. Visit our website today and learn all about our unique products. Comcoms.link. comcoms.link.
Oh, I don't know. It takes a lot of time to think about these moves, or whether it's just an innate instinctive ability he has, but he's the opposite of prompt, because you're right. He paints himself into a corner because he either loses face or he has to respond. And he seems to constantly sort of be putting himself in like a political and geopolitical straitjacket. And what we suspect, back to what I was saying before I got sidetracked, talking about the character of Jews and how they infect the people around them that they buy and bribe. You know, we thought one theory was there maybe was some back channels as a way out of all this sort of thing, you know, considering the Iranians don't want a war either. They're responding to an unprovoked, attack. That everyone would somehow get an off-ramp off this. But that if not, you know, even though the Iranians probably wouldn't have suffered too much in terms of the damage or whatever, the fact of the matter is they were still, you know, attacked by the United States. And Trump's attitude at the end is, you know, now we want peace. So we've bombed you now. For the moment, at least, I've satisfied Netanyahu. I can present this as a great success to my base and that we're not going to be involved anymore. But this all obviously was completely dependent on the Iranians not responding. And if they did respond, the most likely response was going to be the attack of the United States bases and or some sort of economic warfare with the Strait of Hormuz, which is, you know, that's been discussed a lot today, that the Iranians are considering that. But it looks like, while details are still coming in as to the extent of it, it looks like they have attacked bases in Qatar and Iraq. And like I said, there was some sort of mortar attack on a base in Syria. So, you know, Trump has gambled with this attack. And if these attacks are remotely serious and there's any kind of destruction or deaths or injuries to the United States, well, then what? You know, does America have to respond? Because I think, if you think about it, you know, many people were saying Netanyahu was gloating, you know, with America coming in and attacking like this. But if you think about it, probably what Trump was hoping to do, if the Iranians didn't attack any bases, was that there would, you know, that he would get in and out, maybe satisfy the Zionist lobby. And then, if indeed, which we know is BS anyway, the whole nuclear thing's a red herring, that you know, if that job's done and they've obliterated, you know, this if we afford Trump being a little bit more strategic and intelligent than he sometimes comes across, then it could be perceived as Trump saying, okay, these crazy Zionists, they, you know, they've been badgering me, and I have now given them what they want. They said they're worried about this nuclear threat. Okay, I've removed the nuclear threat. So then, from Trump's point of view, maybe he's thinking, okay, there's no more excuses for, you know, for pressure for me to get involved in this. Apparently, the problem was the nuclear threat, and I've obliterated that threat. So, in a way, that puts Netanyahu in a bit of a bad position, because then there is no more excuses for the U.S. attacking Iran, because they've apparently, you know, destroyed the apparent threat. But we know that the, you know, Netanyahu and the Israelis, they want ultimately regime change, which may well involve U.S. troops on the ground. So what would be the next excuse? You know, let's assume the Iranians didn't attack Qatar, if they sat on their hands with this, which I think they should have done. I don't think they should have given the Americans an excuse. Mm-hmm. They have been hammering Israel, and I think it's probably foolish of them to attack the U.S. bases, because that now then does bring, you know, it is another excuse to bring America in. Otherwise, how is Trump going to sell it to his base the next time Netanyahu inevitably comes knocking? You know, because he could say, well, you know, you apparently you're worried about them having a nuclear threat, and we've dealt with this threat. You know, so what more do you want? What do you want us to do now? No thanks, you know. But if the Iranians have started attacking these U.S. bases, well, like you said, Trump has painted himself into a corner with his rhetoric, and so they'll have to respond, I guess. And, you know, this is what we said. I mean, if there's no back channels going on where everyone gets an off-ramp, it's just going to escalate, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you think about it, when the West gets involved in these covert attacks on Russia, Russia resists the pressure mm-hmm. to attack the West. They basically take their, you know, the retaliation out on, you know, escalatory attacks on Kiev. And my view is that unless it's absolutely necessary, that the Iranians should have just resisted any temptations and just kept hammering Israel.
Yeah.
And then Israel's now in a difficult position, because they'll have to go to Trump and say, help us out here. And Trump can say, well, I did. I attacked the nuclear threat. I thought that's all you're worried about. And so
I would have thought that maybe the Russians did advise the Iranian foreign
Probably.
Minister not to retaliate directly against America. And it seemed as if Trump was leaving the door open to having Iran continue to lob missiles at Israel. After all, he came to this agreement with the Houthis, which involved the Houthis not
any time. Anytime you're feeling blue, anytime you feel.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. because you can handle the truth.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. Or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Howdy, cousins. This is RBN host Blackbird 9, a.k.a. Frederick C. Blackburn, asking you to please support the Republic Broadcasting Network. Every day, RBN's mission is to use our collective voices to spread truth and relevant information, to gain a deeper understanding of the adversary, and to gain knowledge for survival against the gradual erosion of the Republic. But in order to sustain this incredible communications network, RBN needs your financial contributions. To donate, visit republicbroadcasting.org, call 1-800-724-2719, or mail your donations to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Lob missiles at Israel. After all, he came to this agreement with the Houthis, which involved the Houthis not agreeing to have a ceasefire with the United States, but not with Israel, and they were free to continue to prevent ships from traveling to Israel's southern port. But it is what it is. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, it has to be said that it may be no coincidence, by the way, that the Iranian foreign minister, Abbas Araghchi, or I don't know, how do you pronounce his name? Araghchi? I don't know, whatever.
Arrivederci Roma?
Araghchi, whatever. I'm usually pretty good at pronouncing names, but this one just—it doesn't seem to make any sense to me. Anyway, the foreign minister met with Putin today. Putin, and I quote, said, "This is an absolutely unprovoked aggression against Iran and has no basis and no justification." Let me just play a clip, Patrick, if I can, of J.D. Vance today. Get your commentary on J.D. Vance as well. He's basically, I think, jeopardizing his own political future by some of this nonsense. I mean, one of the things he says, he was asked by a journalist today, are we at war with Iran? He said, we're not at war with Iran, we're at war with Iran's nuclear program. I mean, this kind of rhetorical gymnastics. But anyway, here we go. Here's J.D. Vance.
I mean, the Iranian foreign minister responded to the strikes this morning, saying Israel and the U.S. have, quote, blown up diplomacy. Mr. Vice President, is there any real hope for diplomacy, or is diplomacy dead at this point?
Well, I think the foreign minister is exactly wrong. We didn't blow up diplomacy. We only took this action, Kristen, when it was clear, as the president said, that the Iranians were tapping us along. I think it's important for the American people to appreciate here that if you go back to March of this year, we had the entire administration engaged in this diplomatic effort. And frankly, in March of this year, we had some optimism. So we get from there to now, in the end,
Yeah, well, that's a good question. How did we get from there to now, you know?
Yeah. Vance, he's the vice president. How old is he? Is he still 39? He's very young, doesn't have experience, has a very strange past. He's a creation of Peter Thiel and Tucker Carlson. And he could very well wind up being president because Trump is so erratic and so politically inept. When I say politically, I don't mean in terms of campaigning. He's a good campaigner. But in terms of governing, he's extremely inept. And he's keeps going on Truth Social and saying retarded things. He says things. I think I would like to see an impeachment, motions of impeachment introduced him on bribery charges, which are specifically mentioned in the Constitution as grounds for impeachment. And I'd like all these things he said about how much money he got from Miriam and Sheldon Adelson, how they were always at the White House, and he saw them more than he saw his own staff, and he gave them everything he wanted, and they'd still ask for more. He gave them everything they wanted, and then some, and they would still ask for more. They were never satisfied. And it's just like, just saying that this was funny and it was okay, but of course everybody knows how much money he got from these people. And I think charges on bribery would be enlightening. They would be very enlightening for people to see this. He's, at this point, he's got, you know, way more than enough support in the Senate that he doesn't have to worry about being removed from office. But these things can change quickly. Richard Nixon won 49 out of 50 states in November of 1972, and less than 2 years later, August 1974, he was out on his ear. Things can change quickly. Vance could wind up being president. Who knows what he'd be like?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think he's done himself any favors with this kind of stuff. Because normally Vance kind of is a kind of a voice of reason, but I think he's let himself down as well. He's starting to talk a lot of BS as well. Anyway, do you want to hear the rest of this?
Yeah, and by the way, he's 40 years old. He's born August 2nd, 1984.
Yeah, all right, let's hear the rest of this.
Stonewalling us, they weren't taking this seriously. They were trying to draw this process out as long as possible so that they could rebuild their nuclear weapons program without the threat of American action.
All right, so, you know, this kind of narrative is basically, it's rewriting history, and they were buying for time, and so they could, you know, develop their nuclear program. And I'm sorry, but Tulsi Gabbard as well has basically been accusing people of quoting her out of context. No one's been quoting her out of context. She said what she said, that there was no threat since 2003, and now she's come along, basically, and said more or less the same as Trump, that they could be developing a nuclear weapon very soon and all this sort of stuff.
Well, I'm going to show for my girlfriend because she's hot.
Not really.
Everything she said, none of this really comes from her. So the things that you know we like or the things we don't like really haven't come from her. So when she was testifying under oath, she was saying that the intelligence community, it's their estimate. That's what it's officially called, an estimate, that Iran ceased its nuclear weapons development program, 20 years ago. And we've been hearing this year after year. And so this isn't her opinion. This is, she is just simply reporting the estimate of the intelligence community. And then when she was
You're too good for her, Patrick. You let her go. You're too good for her.
And then when she was, here it's, people shouldn't give her credit because she said this. She's simply reporting, and the intelligence community, this is the same intelligence community that has been wrong about all sorts of things. On the one hand, I don't care, when people say Trump is ignoring his intelligence community, well, that's the same intelligence community that was saying that Russia hacked the election and stuff like that. But and then when she said she was taken out of context and she retweeted or whatever, she tweeted a link to her full testimony. The testimony was did it include things that had been said by the International Atomic Energy Agency. But she it wasn't her opinions that she was talking about. She was just relating the positions of other bodies. So anyway, I'm just saying that. One thing that was interesting, though, was regarding the International Atomic Energy Agency, which is the... they oversee the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, and they had come out with some sort of report or statement that Iran is intending to develop or is capable of developing a weapon in a very short period of time. I guess talking about intention. And what Alistair Crook was saying on one of these shows, I guess it was the judge's show this morning, was that because the International Atomic Energy Agency has kind of walked back some of these statements, and he's saying that the original report, it wasn't based on intelligence; it was based on an artificial intelligence program that was written by Palantir. That IAEA uses Palantir, and so Palantir has half a billion pieces of data in a giant database and algorithms supplied by Palantir, and it is saying that they're based on all of these data points, who's talking to whom and whatnot, that they somehow have the feeling that the Iranians have the intention of developing nuclear weapons. Well, I mean, I tell you one thing.
Yeah.
If you're going to bomb Iran anyway, why the hell wouldn't they develop nuclear weapons? If you're going to bomb them anyway, right? I mean, it's like if your wife is going to accuse you of having an affair and treat you as if you're having an affair, maybe you ought to have an affair.
Yeah, well, exactly.
I mean, I'm not recommending.
Well,
that,
the other
saying.
Yeah, well, I don't have a wife, so. The other theory is Grossi, if I'm correct, the guy, the head of the IAEA. Maybe he's also a little personally motivated to walk some of this back, considering the Iranians threatened him. They said when this war is over, we'll deal with him. For what it's worth, that's a little ambiguous, but it could be ominous for him as well. Here is the foreign minister speaking. Just it's worth, clarifying his position in Istanbul before he was due to fly to Russia and didn't fly to meet Putin today. Hold on one second, I'll play this clip.
The door for diplomacy should be always keep open, but this is not the case right now. My country has been under attack, under aggression, and we have to respond based on our legitimate right of self-defense. And we will do that as long as needed and necessary.
Okay, so there was, when I heard that, I thought, okay, the idea of back channel, if you rule that out, they are going to respond. And these attacks on Iraq and these bases in Iraq and Qatar are probably the beginning of it. The other thing I was going to say, Patrick, which may play into this a little bit, is maybe they do have... I think the Russians are outraged by this. And we talked about Medvedev. Now, Medvedev said some very interesting things. And, you know, Medvedev is kind of like I said, he's kind of almost like Putin's alter ego. Putin's very measured and very polite. Firm, but very polite. Whereas Medvedev tends to be a little bit more loose with his tongue. And but at the same time, he's not going to be able to just say things off his own back. You know, the Russians just don't work like that. If he's saying stuff, it's going to be because he has the permission of Putin to say what he's going to say. And he said some very interesting things. I'll just quote you if you can't. Just bear with me because I think it's really interesting. He said, what have the Americans accomplished with their nighttime strikes on three nuclear sites in Iran? Just bear with me because it's coming up on the screen. One, critical infrastructure of the nuclear fuel cycle appears to have been unaffected or sustained only minor damage. The enrichment of nuclear material, and now we can say it outright, the future production of nuclear weapons will continue. A number of countries are ready to directly supply Iran with their own nuclear warheads. Israel is under attack, explosions are rocking the country, and people are panicking. This is on point five. The U.S. is now entangled in a new conflict with prospects of a ground operation looming on the horizon. Six, Iran's political regime has survived, and in all likelihood has come out even stronger. Seven, the people are rallying around the country's spiritual leadership, including those who were previously indifferent or opposed to it.
And eight, this is
Donald
all,
Trump.
I just want to clarify, this is all stuff Medvedev is saying?
Yeah, he's got 10 points here. Okay. Number eight, Donald Trump once hailed as, quote, president of peace, has now pushed the U.S. into another war. Number nine, the vast majority of countries around the world oppose the actions of Israel and the United States. Number 10, at this rate, Trump can forget about his Nobel Peace Prize, not even with how rigged it has become. What a way to kick things off, Mr. President. Congratulations, exclamation mark. This will be authorized by Putin.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the Russians are really thinking. So, who knows? Maybe the Russians have decided, okay, enough's enough. You know, Israel attacked you unprovoked. Now Americans bombed you. I understand. Go ahead, hit their bases. We've got your back. We'll let, you know, those kind of statements are showing absolute condemnation for Israel and the United States. And that's coming from the Russian Federation. That's authorized. You know, it's, you know, Medvedev's not going to just go out on a limb and say that sort of stuff on his own. You know, it's heavily critical. It basically says the whole world hates Israel and the United States. You know, Trump's a disgrace, essentially. And there's plenty of countries are prepared to give Iran warheads. Now, this should be a warning for the United States if they're thinking of responding to any attacks. They should look at it, okay, we bombed their bases. Iran has retaliated. Now it's time for peace. You know, Trump bombs Iran and then said, now it's time for peace. It's just like, oh, really? You know, it's just like, has anyone ever come up to you in a bar, Patrick, and punched you in the face and then said, listen, let's have a chat. You go, what are you drinking? Do you want a beer?
I can't say that's ever happened to me. Nope.
Well, yeah, because it doesn't happen. No one comes up to you and gives you, you know, hits you right in the head, in the back of the head when you're not looking at you, and then says, all right, mate, what can I get you? You know,
well,
are you a lager man or a Guinness man?
I will say that Father Ted did kick Bishop Brennan up the arse and then...
Yeah, well, that's different.
Pretend nothing happened.
No. That was not unprovoked. I don't know why you're aware of the history of that tyrant, Bishop Brennan, but he had that coming for sure.
He did have that coming. Well, and by God, I will get Bishop Brennan up the arse. Yeah.
Did you ever see pretending to write a song? They had to write a song for the...
For Eurovision.
Eurovision
My Lovely Horse. My Lovely Horse.
They can't write. And the room just becomes a mess. And Father Ted's with the shirts hanging off him, and he's smoking fag after fag, and the place is wrecked. Just play the freaking note! Play the freaking... It's so irreverent. I mean, it's funny, but it's just like... It's so irreverent.
My
well.
Lovely like, horse. Yeah, and then they plagiarized a former Eurovision contestant that had died mysteriously. Everybody involved in the song, the engineers, everybody just died mysteriously all of a sudden in an accident. my lovely horse.
But anyway, so, you know, that's very interesting, I think, what Medvedev said. I think it is kind of accepted knowledge that...
Well, in 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we met up with the British near the town of New Orleans.
We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it down.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It just was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm on to something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Well, hello, folks. This is Mike Gatti, the Rebel Madman at Republic Broadcasting Network. If you are searching for your inner rebel, it can be found at the Dixie Republic. It's the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to thedixierepublic.com to view all of their Southern merchandise, from flags to T-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through their extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in their Johnny Reb gun and leather shop. Now remember, DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
my lovely horse.
But anyway, so, you know, that's very interesting, I think, what Medvedev said. I think it is kind of accepted knowledge that, you know, Medvedev is a kind of, he is Putin's dog on a leash, you know. Because let's, you know, Putin is a polite guy, but he's not, if you ever see him, if you ever see him in a room with his officials, they're all sitting there like scared school children, you know.
Yeah. Yep. I mean.
So, you know, Putin's got an edge to him, and he's got a dark side to him as well, so, I mean.
Putin's badass.
He is badass, and Trump pretends he's badass, but, you know.
He's not.
There's a saying, Taco, isn't it? Trump always chickens out. That's the irony. And Trump thinks he's an alpha male and things like that, but I didn't. I mean, I must say, I think, you know, he's in an easy position, but, you know, he took that money. What was he expecting? He thinks he's going to get away with, you know, doing that little attack on Iran, and then he'll wash his hands of the whole thing. But now, you know, the Iranians look like they're responding, and now what's he going to do?
Yeah. You know? Well, Trump is a bitch, and I think we'll end the show with Engelbert Poindexter's latest song. So before we end the show, do you have any final thoughts?
No, but it looks like, you know, we could be off to the races here. I don't know. We're still... It looks like there has been some sort of strikes on bases. For the sake of world peace, we should hope that this is very much a... what's the word I'm looking for? Some sort of controlled retaliation. I mean, because if you end up where there's like a dozen Americans killed, I mean, the whole thing's just going to get out of control. Really.
Yeah, not good.
But it has been struck. Yeah, I'm just seeing it now. Yeah, an American military base in northeast Syria was attacked. That's for sure. So yeah, Patrick, we'll just have to wait and see.
Okay.
But it was a gamble. What Trump did. And it's probably likely to backfire, sadly.
Well, we'll keep an eye on it, and we'll speak freely about it, and we won't choose our words very carefully. We won't fed post either. We'll keep it real, keep it 100% real.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining me.
Indeed. Thank you for having me, Patrick. It's always a pleasure.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio. And now, Engelbert Poindexter.
He will justify how Gaza dies, pushing BB's chairman right before our eyes. But he's changed nothing except the left gets screwed when they dare to raise their voices to these vicious Jews. Oh, Milfi Bondi monitors your blog, and Christy Noem will come and shoot your dog. But the biggest bitch in the Israeli plan is the one who takes the money to attack Iran. Oh, he's a bitch, oh, the bitch is back. It's Donald Trump in a MAGA hat. He's a bitch for the rich, mega money Jews. He'll do what they choose till we've nothing to lose. Oh. Said he'd keep the foreigners outside. Then he sold his soul by helping genocide. Fighting anti-Semites, what he's paid to do. So he hired Palantir to keep an eye on you. Oh, oh, oh. He's a bitch, oh, the bitch is back. It's Donald Trump in a MAGA hat. He's a bitch for the rich, mega money Jews. He'll do what they choose till we've nothing to lose. Oh.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation. But today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.